I want to look here in the book of Nehemiah and trust that God will just help us today. I know that Nehemiah is a wonderful book, a wonderful story of courage, commitment. But I believe, I'll tell you in just a little while how the message was birthed in my heart. I believe the parallels between Nehemiah and our country are too many to ignore. And I'd like to address some things, probably just lay some groundwork this morning. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. The word of God said, and fasted. There'll always be a crowd when you call for a feast. But the crowd will always thin out when you call for a fast. The Bible said, and fasted and prayed before. Now watch this. I'll get into this later. This might be Wednesday night before I get to it. I don't know. But it didn't say one of the gods of heaven. And anybody said, he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let me tell you something. There's one God. And there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. You can try to make all this stuff blend if you want to. But honey, it ain't going to blend. Either the Bible's the word of God or it's not. Either Jesus is the way of salvation or he's not. Either we're saved by grace through faith or we're not. Amen. This morning, I don't mean to be controversial, but I may not say anything that someone in this building doesn't like, but I'll guarantee you I'll say some things that this world doesn't like. Because if you take a stand for truth, not everybody loves the truth. Some hate the truth. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you this morning now for the privilege to be here with your precious people. God, I pray today that you'd help me, Lord, clearly. Lord, the words that would be pleasing in thy sight. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today who doesn't know you, Lord, maybe today they'd understand why we get so excited about the blood of Jesus. Why we get so excited about the cross. Why we get so excited about your great mercy and your great grace. And God, I pray today that you'd strengthen your children. Lord, I do pray today that you'll help the messenger to bear the message that you've placed in his heart. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Let me lay just a little bit of groundwork. And there's always this tendency when I've got all this laying in front of me to run. You know what I mean? But I want to take my time. I know that what we say will go out over the internet. And sometimes I think that's a danger. But I do know this. God's word will stand. If I say something contrary to the word of God, I won't have to worry about somebody telling me that's listening on the internet. I got enough people right here in front of me that love Jesus. If I say something contrary to the Word of God, they'll tell me. They'll let me know. I was listening this week and watching, and you say, well, preacher, what are you going to title the message? Well, I'm kind of in a turmoil about that. I may leave that off right now. I know this. The message is birthed from the word great. Just one word, great. And what happened in my heart this week as we watched the inauguration and we listened to those that prayed and we researched some things, such as when the vice president put his hand on the Bible, he wanted it opened to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. I say this, I can't think of a better place to lay your hand in the generation that we're living in. We need to pray. Now listen, before I get finished with this message, if you only come on Sunday morning, I'm liable to be preaching when you come back next Sunday morning. But I'll be preaching in here tonight and Wednesday night probably in the book of Nehemiah. We're going to look at some things. We're going to take our time. But I want you to know that I believe America is in need of help from God. You say, preacher, I thought all that would change with the election. No, the need is actually magnified through the election. I will say this. I don't recall any storefronts being broken down when Barack Obama was elected president in the first, what year was that, Brother Steve? 2000? And, well, he was inaugurated in 2001, right? And then again in 2005, he would have been inaugurated, elected in 2004 and inaugurated. I don't recall any vehicles being set on fire. I don't recall any storefronts being broken down. But now, it's different. It's different now. There's a group of people in our country that's not having their way. Let me say something to you this morning. The important thing is not that you have your way, and the important thing is not that I have my way, but the important thing is that America gets back to this book and says God has a way, and that way is forever settled in heaven. That's the important thing. It's not my way, not your way. But what is God's way? And I believe with all of my heart, listen, that there seems to be at least a atmosphere that perhaps the Lord can work in. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me give you an example. There were 5 prayers prayed during the inauguration. One of them was prayed by a rabbi. That was the only one that was not prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. 5 out of 6 prayers were prayed in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Pray in whoever's name you want to, but there ain't but one getting through, and that's the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand what this has got to do with Nehemiah. If you hang around, buckle your seatbelt, you will. I guarantee it. I believe with all of my heart that our country has a great need in front of it. And it's not going to be, listen to me carefully right here, it's not going to be solved in the White House. Now you can create an atmosphere where God can work. Yes, you can. You can create an atmosphere where you're not ashamed to say the name of Jesus. And I thank God for that atmosphere. You can create an atmosphere, beloved, listen, where Allah's not the main thing on the platform. CARE, the Council for American and Islamic Relations, did not want Franklin Graham to pray in the inauguration. Now listen to me, I'm going to say some things this morning, but listen to me carefully. The main reason they didn't want that man to pray is because that man prays and believes with all of his heart there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus.
Now listen to me. I'm going to say something may hurt somebody's feelings. I don't mean to. But Christians have been fighting one another over the little things long enough in this country. Honey, if we can get together at the cross, we ought to raise high the bloodstained banner and proclaim with a loud voice, there is a God in heaven. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And the blood of Jesus is the only way you'll escape the damnation of hell. We've gotten to where we're nitpicking and arguing among God's people over the minors, while that others are majoring in things that are not even Christian, that are not even close to the Word of God. This morning, the first word, Brother Brian, I started looking at the word great. When I looked at it on the Bible program, it's over 900 times in the Bible. So the first thing I said, well, Lord, it looks like we're going to be here a while. Looking at the word great. But as I begin just to kind of just go through, just quickly, just looking at the word great, I came to the book of Nehemiah. And then I realized that, boy, there's a story being told right here in the book of Nehemiah. And just the word great in the book of Nehemiah began to speak to my heart. And then I recall this week that Pastor Jeffers was going to be one of the pastors that was going to speak at the what was it called, a prayer service. That's what it was called. It wasn't called a prayer breakfast. It was called a prayer service. And he was going to, and they interviewed him on the news. And Pastor Jeffers, they asked him what he was going to say. And he said, well, I'm going to be talking about Nehemiah. He said, I'm not going to be in there to chastise or to challenge the president. He said, I want to go in there and encourage the president. And when I started looking at the word great in the book of Nehemiah, oh, how God spoke to my heart. Let me just give you some of those this morning, okay, that I'll be emphasizing. I'm kind of going to just throw it out there this morning. And then we're going to come back. We're going to back up and begin to tackle these one at a time, one at a time. First of all, in Nehemiah chapter number 1, everybody knows that the slogan of Donald Trump was Make America Great Again. That's where that great, I've just been thinking about great. Great. I tell you what I'd love. Yesterday, little Olivia had a party. Little two-year-olds running around everywhere. Wouldn't it be good if they could grow up, Brother John, in a great nation? Wouldn't it be good, Brother John, if they could grow up and a man of God could stand and preach and a choir could sing and the doors in the house of God? You say, preacher, those things are not threatened in America. You're wrong. You're very, very wrong. Beloved, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. We sit on our hands and do nothing. Evil will triumph in this great country that we live in. The first thing we saw was in our text this morning. It's a great need. The Bible said, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Can you agree with me that there was a great need in Jerusalem when Nehemiah is under this burden to do something about that great need? Can you agree with me that there's a great need in America? Can you agree with me that no man in human flesh alone is going to solve that need? That we need intervention from the God of heaven. We need God to help us. There's a great need. Secondly, look at verse number 5. In Nehemiah 1:5, and he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. Watch this now. The great. Please underline the word great, okay? The great and terrible God. Let me just say this. Let me go on and read the next verse. Chapter 1, verse 10. Now these are thy servants, thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. It said in the middle of the verse, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. The first thing I said was there's a great need. The second thing I want to say is there's a great God in heaven with great power that can meet the greatest need that mankind has ever had. The greatest need is salvation. The greatest need is a Savior. God has already met that need. He sent a Savior. There's a great need. There's a great God with great power to meet that need. Look at chapter 4. Please be thinking about our country when I'm going through this. Maybe the Holy Ghost can do in your heart what He's done in my heart. In this comparison, look in chapter 4, verse number 1. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. What's that mean? That means he was mad. I was in Wise County preaching the first church I pastored. And one of our ladies there, she was a Sunday school teacher. She had a little niece that visited the church. That little niece had never been around preaching. And all through the service, Brother Gary, that little niece said to her, Aunt, he mad. And she said, no, honey, he's not mad. He's just preaching. She said, no, he mad. He really mad. He mad. Let me tell you something what's going on right here. He's mad. He's really mad. You want to know why? Because God's people are raising up. And because God's people are rebuilding. And because God's people are doing a work. And here the word of God said, the Bible said, he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Can anybody see the fit so far? Honey, there are people in our country that are taking great indignation. They're mad. They're really mad. As a general rule of thumb, when a godless world is really mad, God's people ought to really be glad. Go with me, please. There's great indignation. Look at chapter 4, verse 19. We'll get there in a minute, Brother Brian. You hold on, okay, buddy? How many remembers that Jack in the Box? That little thing, you wound it up, and you never knowed when it's going to do it, but boom. God's going to pop something on Brother Brian here. Boy, I tell you what, when I first sat down, Brother, you kept using that word great. Did you know that? How dare you? You kept saying it over and over and over. I told Miss Eve, I said, I'm about to come out of here. Watch this. In Nehemiah 4:19, the Bible said, I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. Let me tell you something about God's work. It's great. It's a large work. That's why I say hallelujah, brother, so we can send them around the world. It's too big for us. Amen. So God gives the church missionaries to help them bear that burden and take the gospel to the whole world. It's great and large. Nehemiah chapter 5, there was a great cry of the people. There was a great cry. Look in verse number 6 of chapter number 8. The Bible said, Ezra blessed the Lord. Now underline this, the great God. I can't wait to get to Nehemiah chapter number 8. And then in Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 12, the Bible said, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Look at Nehemiah 8:17. And all the congregation of them that were come together out of the captivity made booths. They sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Stay with me. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 17. Here we go, Brother Brian. The Bible said they refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Glory to God, there's great kindness and great mercy for those that will walk with God. Look here, in verse number 25 of chapter number 9, the Bible said they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. How many can say God is good? Look at Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 26. The Bible said, nevertheless, they were disobedient. You know the story of Israel. It sounds a lot like the story in America. They would obey God, and God would bless them. They would disobey God, and God would chastise them. They would obey God, and God would bless them. They would disobey God. And listen, I say God would chastise them. Listen to me carefully right here. I didn't even mean to say this, but sometimes God used other nations to chastise them. Our nation, listen to me carefully, has been weakened greatly. God's people better pray. We need help. Not only is there great provocations in chapter 9, verse 26, they provoke the Lord. Look at chapter 9, verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and a merciful God. Brother Brian, if folk weren't here for Sunday school, they don't have any idea what's going on right now. But there is a God in heaven that's trying to remind us that we have a great need. But He's got mercy. He's got grace. He's got power for whatever we need. You bring that down on an individual basis this morning, it doesn't matter what your need is. I may not be able to meet that need, but I know the one who can. He can meet that need. Watch this. There's great mercy. Look at verse 32. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy. Somebody tell me how often it's new. Help me. Every morning. God said, I made a covenant with my people. Every morning. Watch this. Let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that thou hast come upon us and our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, and our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. In chapter 9, verse 37, we read in the latter part of great distress. But then the book closes out in chapter 12 with the word great, verse 43. And that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. You see that? And the wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem, listen, was heard even afar off. I tell you what God can do. God can give America her joy back. But it's going to take God to give America her joy back. And it's going to take a group of people that learn how to spell joy. J is Jesus first. Y is yourself last. And the O is others in between. America, beloved, listen. The key to America is not America first. Listen, I understand the thought. The key to America is Jesus first. You say, I don't like that. Well, that's okay. It's all right if I preach the Bible. That's what God called me to preach, ain't it? The key to our joy is not America first. The key to our joy is Jesus first. Beloved friend, this morning, God is going to take us. Listen, I'm not going line upon line, precept upon precept through this book. We'd be here a year doing that, at least a year. But I'm going to take the word great in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to go through and try to magnify what's going on each time that word great appears. It begins, I didn't mean to take this long with the introduction, but it begins in that third verse with a great need. I don't want you to raise your hand this morning if you don't believe it. I don't want you to be a liar, and I don't want you to be a hypocrite. But how many of you believe our country has a great need? You listen to me. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to make somebody mad probably. That's not my intent. But we got millions that are marching because they're afraid they might lose their right to abort their baby. I'm just going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. That right may have come from the Supreme Court of the United States, but that right did not come from the Supreme Court of heaven. We've got millions that are marching, that are protesting, because they want the right to walk down an aisle like this. And it ain't going to be long, beloved. Maybe that's been stayed for a while. That's my hope and prayer. This thing would have kept going the way it's going, honey. It wouldn't have been long. They'd have been telling me, if you're going to pastor a church, your church is going to have church tax-exempt status. You will stand down there and you will do their ceremony. And you will have a man kissing a man right here in front of you. I'll tell you, I'll be dead and in heaven before I ever do that. Before I ever do that, I'll be dead and in God's presence. A woman kissing a woman. That's what they're marching about. That's what they're marching about. There was a great crowd at the inauguration. But the crowd would have been much, much greater if it hadn't been for so many people working. I ain't going to say nothing else. That's enough. Amen. If I could say anything to our president this morning, I'd say, Mr. President, do all you can to protect the Bible, to protect the churches, because the hope of America is not in the White House. It's in God's house, Brother Rose. And beloved, listen, you might not like what I'm about to say, but God's house is largely responsible What if, Brother Grizzle, we would have stood up during those times, brother? You know, when you go out to the shelter, when you go out in the vestibule, when you go over here where the old church was, you've got bathrooms. And on one door, it's going to say ladies, or it's going to say women. Or if you go out to the shelter, just because it was less words and I just had a little piece of wood to work with, it says gals. And on the other side, it says guys.
We all know what that means.
Male and female created he them.
Amen.
And the creator's never changed. You're not going to find anything else at Bible Way Baptist Church. If you're looking for it, go somewhere else. There are going to be guys and gals, ladies and men. God, this morning, I believe with all of my heart, church, wants to call us to prayer. God wants to call us to a season of fasting, a season where we would beg God to do something. You might say, well, preacher, they're no threat. I'm going to tell you something right now. We don't know what. And you've got congressmen and women that are scotching it all, that are backing it all, that are stirring in the pot, stirring and stirring and stirring. I tell you this morning, in Nehemiah's day, Israel had a great need. And in your day and in my day, Brother Brian, you even touched on it. You can ask Miss Eve, as I was just kind of, I normally don't do it, but I was sitting out there just telling her a little bit about the way God was leading me. I said, honey, it's Olivia. I said, it's that bunch of kids over there that was running around yesterday.
Amen.
If America turns and goes in the right direction, oh, it'll be so wonderful for our children and our grandchildren.
Amen.
But if America turns its back on God and goes away from God, let me tell you something. It'll be terrible for our children and our grandchildren. There was a great need. If you'll come back tonight, what I want to do is one by one, we're not going to skip from chapter 1, but we're actually going to go to chapter 3 because of what was said in chapter 1. Nehemiah said the walls are torn down. Let me ask you something. Just answer this question in your heart. Can you have a nation without borders? If a border means nothing, then what does it mean to be a citizen of the United States? There in Jerusalem, they were concerned about that border. But we're going to jump over. Not only the Bible said then in that verse, later in that verse, and the gates were burned with fire. And we're going to look at some gates that if a certain sect of people in our country have their way, they'll be burned with fire. May God help us this morning to pray. May God help us this morning to understand. Today, around the world, in different spots, there's hot spots in Northern Africa. There's hot spots in Asia where Christians are persecuted terribly. We need to pray for them. We need to thank God for what we have. But we need to understand that what we have could be taken if we're not willing to stand up. The songwriter said, stand up, Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. This morning, I hope you're a patriot. I hope when you meet a veteran or when you meet a police officer, you moms and dads, if you sense 1 ounce of disrespect in your teenager or your child for the law, if you sense 1 ounce, you better do what you can to rid that 1 ounce. It will turn into 1 pound. We need help. Nehemiah understood that. But you know, Brother Steve, Nehemiah didn't say, let somebody else do something about this. Nehemiah said in as many words, hear my Lord. Nehemiah wasn't a fake. I'm not sure. Is it chapter 2, Brother Brian? You go into chapter 2 and he goes before the king, I believe. He couldn't put on a smile, brother. His heart was broke. He had been for months in prayer and months fasting in it. He didn't do it for a show, but the king said, there's something wrong with that boy. It ain't the same one that was in here before. Brother Lance, what's it going to be for them if we lay down on the job? If we're not willing? What's it going to be for Warner? And I look at Warner back here, Brother Brian, and that missionary, I believe, looked younger than him. That's the truth. Amen. That's about the baby-faced missionary I've ever seen in my life. Amen. But boy, I tell you, he didn't have a baby message, did he? Great job. I'm just glad you're saved this morning. Not going to have a song this morning. Just like take a few minutes if you're willing. If there's anybody in this room that's concerned about our country, I believe if, listen to me carefully, I believe there's so much anger, so much animosity, so much hatred. I believe some of the men that are trying their best to take a stand for what's right, I believe their lives are in jeopardy. We need to pray. If you join us for prayer, just come and gather around the altar. If you're here today and you're not saved, please don't leave here without Jesus. If you're here today and maybe there was a time in your life when you were walking real close to the Lord, but today there's a distance between you and God. That's you today. I beg you today to realize when you were not saved, you were one humble prayer, just believing on the Lord and trusting the Lord. And if you're away from God today, just one humble prayer can close that distance.